Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU, coming at you in week 8 of the fantasy football season, week 8 waivers. I am Mr. Bill DeCousas. I'm here with Mr. Tom Lang. Mr. Lang, that was quite a weekend, sir. How are you doing?
Yes, it was quite a weekend. Another productive fantasy football weekend in every single league, except for one for me. But it was great. Unfortunately, I lost by like 3 points in one league and smothered everybody else in the other league. So it was great.
It's
how,
all right.
how was your fantasy weekend?
I went a full 4 for 4. But
nice. Yeah,
so I'll take it. And just to catch everybody up on our high stakes league that we drafted with everybody on when we went live, so please check out our YouTube page. Thank you very much. We actually got moved up to second place now on our thing. Now we have some concerns that we're going to be going over, and maybe we have some of the same concerns that you guys have. So we'll be happy to hook you guys up today when we talk about waivers.
A lot of buys moving forward right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, welcome to week 8 bypocalypse. We've got 6 teams on bye. This will be the most that we have all season. This is the Cardinals, Lions, Jags, Raiders, Rams, and Seahawks. And we've got another 4 teams going on bye next week. So we got a lot of moving parts here going
speaking
on.
Speaking of Seahawks, I mean, they are a great team. Honestly, I mean, they could have a lot of, there's a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary and whatnot, but they are playing well on the defensive side of the ball, even with those injuries. But offensively, they are constructed and they're coached very, very well. And, especially with, I think the biggest surprise is obviously Sam Darnold for all of us.
Continuing to perform,
to do continuously what he did last year. I mean, he just, maybe it was that. Maybe he just needed the coaching opportunity at the Vikings, basically, to just ramp him up. And now he is just a pro, right? He's a pro's pro.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it's unbelievable. And, congratulations to him figuring it out, after all these years.
You got to remember that they're a good team. It'll be interesting to see how far they go, considering that they're in a very difficult division, because the 49ers and Rams, I think we'd peg as better than them, I guess.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, but I could see all three of them making the playoff,
I don't know. NFC is stacked a lot now.
NFC is stacked, but I mean, they are good teams. They're constructed teams. They're put to very, very well put together.
They are. And, we bring it up just to mention, and we call out, we have actually a bunch of victory laps to take today also, but we'll just keep mentioning it just to humble ourselves. One of the biggest losses that we've taken is we really undervalued JSN going into the draft season. And a lot of it was basically because we didn't have faith that Sam Darnold could continually perform. I mean, we thought it was a product of Kevin O'Connell's offense on the Vikings. We thought it ended so badly, yada, yada, yada down the line. We were wrong on all those regards. Clearly the Seahawks are, just a hyper-targeting of JSN, and the Seahawks are good. So,
yeah, they're a very, very well-constructed team is what they are.
Some other interesting quick reactions to the weekend. I know we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Broncos Giants game. So,
I have to relive it again on a Tuesday.
Well, Tommy, I just thought I'd mention to you, I know how bad a lot of Giants fans feel about it, but I just thought I'd say something to make you feel better about it. Considering that you would feel worse about the game if the Broncos won by 14 and just that was the end of the game, right? The fact that they got close made it, the fact that they should have won or whatever it was made it bad, right?
Broncos
should have won that game. So
no, I feel like, when you're shutting out a team, it was 19-0 at one point. I mean, then you
26
then they
to
score,
eight.
Yeah, and then they score all their points in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Giants were just like, oh, we won this game. They just literally gave up. I mean, turning the ball over on offense and not being able to make a stop on defense in the fourth quarter it's very concerning, especially after coming off of that week 6. Victory against the Eagles on Thursday. I mean, they put pedal to the metal the entire game, and they put pedal to the metal to the fourth quarter in this game.
And then they basically went to prevent defense for most of the game. Don't get us started on talking about prevent defense. It could be a whole.
Well, I will say for you Bo Nix owners, you got all your points in the fourth quarter. So congratulations on garbage points and winning the game.
Absolutely. And hopefully they turned a corner. Like those of us who have Bo Nix, like I do, like it's annoying to see like a sort of real amazingness and then real awfulness, like even in the same game. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Well, Denver, it won't happen this week because Denver plays Dallas, and we have a lot of players to talk about in that game, which we'll get to on waivers. Other quick reactions. So, I think the Colts are the real deal. They are basic one of, if not the best team in football at this point. They're pr pretty
Yeah.
pretty dominant.
Yeah, they're very well put together as well, too.
Yeah, we and you know, the weird thing about them is I don't really know how to talk about options about them outside of Pittman, Warren, and Taylor, because Pierce could have a week, Downs could come back, and he could be the guy. I mean, like Adonai Mitchell would have been a guy if he didn't throw the ball at the 1 yard line a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll be talking about Pierce a little bit today, in
we
our waiver
can.
show. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would be remiss if I didn't say, the New York Jets are the worst team I've ever seen. And
They're really bad.
I apologize for recommending Mason Taylor. I apologize. I apologize for being a fan of the New York Jets. And just they're bad. Now, I just want to point out the Jets are playing the Cincinnati Bengals this week. I got news for you. We're going to be recommending Bengals to be played against the New York Jets, and Bengals defense is also going to be on this list. So preview for later. So we'll get to that when we get to it. Any other quick reactions, or do we want to
No,
jump right in
again,
here?
we truly appreciate everybody that takes the time to watch our videos. As I said last week and the week prior to, there are a lot of viewers that are not subscribed. So if you can please subscribe to our channel, we truly appreciate it. So we continue bringing this to you every single week in the off season.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's jump right into this. Let's go to running backs. Drop candidates. Yep. If Austin Ekeler, James Conner, Najee Harris are on your team, you can go ahead and drop them. As we mentioned all the time, they're on IR, done for the season. The only other drop candidate we have for you guys, and you know, we said it when we talked about the waiver show last week, that if we saw it again from Kimani Vidal for the Chargers, that we would believe it. We were cautious about that. We thought Haskins might, and clearly it's not. Clearly they're going with Vidal. Now, Vidal's performance from a fantasy perspective did not commensurate with what we're saying now, but his snap count and the usage, et cetera. So if you picked
Well,
up a
Haskins did get slightly hurt in the game too, so that's why he saw more of an uptick. But again, we're talking about another 2 weeks potentially,
before
if not
Hampton
three
comes
weeks
back.
before Hampton is back, and then we're not talking about this anymore. So,
Yeah, so Hassan Haskins, you could go ahead and drop him. They're heading into the bye, and then as Tommy mentioned, Omarion Hampton will be back at some point. So you could save the
yeah,
roster space there, especially going into the bipocalypse here.
or try to trade him. You know, maybe somebody wants him for that 1 week.
Yeah, so some other drop again, we always say this is a strategy thing. Certain handcuffs going into a bye week, if you have that, you could go ahead and drop them. So, like we said, bipocalypse, we got Cardinals, Lions, Jags, Raiders, Rams, and Seahawks. So of the names here, certain handcuffs going into a bye week, perhaps Michael Carter, maybe Bam Knight, depending on your league. Maybe you could think about dropping one of them. Bashaul Tutin from the Jaguars, you could think about dropping him again just to make roster space. But Blake Corum on the Rams is definitely a good person. And then I wouldn't. We'll talk about the Seahawks later. I wouldn't drop any of the Seahawks running backs at the moment, but there's just some names you could do to manipulate your roster if you need to. So let's talk about again, we always do the breakdown sit rep of all the running backs around the league, but let's just talk about some guys we should highlight. I think the top name on this list, considering there's a couple two names on top of the list, but the top one I just want to talk about because we kind of alluded to it a few weeks in a row, Rashad Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Tommy, the snap counts from this past game were Pacheco had 43, Rashard Smith had 28, and he had a good game, touchdown, et cetera, and Hunt had 13. Now, is that a function of how bad they were crushing the Raiders, or is this something we should look at long term?
No, I think it's just they were just trying to rest some of their players, especially with Kareem Hunt did get slightly injured in that game too. He did go back into the game, but again, I mean, they were beating up, and I just think it was just the game script at that point. You know, why have some of these players? I mean, I don't even think Patrick Mahomes took the knees at the end of the game, right?
No, I
No.
don't
So I
think.
mean, like, you know, they were kind of saving him bending his knee to put his knee on the ground. So to take those negative 1 yard losses in your fantasy roster. So
Yeah. Is this going to be your weekly shot against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
that's not a weekly shot. It's just saying that they took him out. They took him out to save his knees, so he
Okay.
doesn't come up with a knee injury, a veteran knee injury.
Okay, for the record, for all of our listeners, at some point we're going to have a full episode where we get rid of this stupid hate and ridiculous notions about the Chiefs. We're going to skip past that now because we're
There was no hate.
professionals.
There was no hate. There was no hate. It was just saying that they rest their players.
Yeah, you said something. Whatever. Let's just
Rest
let it
his
go.
knees.
Yeah. So you don't think
Oh,
it's you
sorry.
don't.
Speaking of knees, though, this is something that we didn't bring up. Kendre Miller is out with the torn ACL
For
for
the
the year.
season,
For the season, yeah.
I thought it wasn't confirmed.
No, it's he's missing the rest of the season. So this is a big uptick for Mr. Gadget over there. So
It could very well be. We'll talk about that later. And also that mean maybe that means Kamara's not getting traded.
Well, yeah, I mean,
So
he also said, he did speculate saying, like, obviously, if they trade him, he's going to be sipping pina colada. So I don't know if that means he's going to be playing drunk or if he's going to be just in Mexico for the rest. He's going to retire if being traded.
he's going to play for the Mexico City Thunder.
Yeah,
Okay.
exactly.
All right. Anyway, back to Rashad Smith. I kind of agree. I agree with Tommy's notion about it. I want to see if there's some sort of a trend. It might just have been a game script thing. And also, the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the higher teams on the running back trade rumor list. So if a running back comes in there, then this is an irrelevant point. However, if they do stick with the guys, deeper leagues, I think he could be a stash, Breshad Smith. And he's available everywhere. The other guy we mentioned, we talked about him last week. Kyle Manungai needs to be rostered. Clearly was very, very good in the production that he
Yeah.
got. Obviously, Swift was too. Swift was the main guy, but I think Kyle Manungai is starting to have some standalone value. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, he took 45% of the snap percentage. He finished obviously running back 12 for the week. He had 13 touches on the ground and then obviously three through the air, so 16 total touches. 15 total touches. He had three targets, so for two receptions. But I do think that he is an opportunity. I did actually. It's funny. I was going against him in a 14-man league. I was going against him. He was the RB1 for that roster for that guy, and I was like, "Oof, that's a rough start." But basically, he got 16 and a half points. So I mean, good for him. I still won that game, which was nice. But
Not a good call by that guy. Yeah.
no, it was definitely a good shot. It's a nice shot. Especially going against New Orleans. I mean, he was going to get opportunity. Maybe that changes next week against Baltimore. Who knows? I mean, it's looking like Lamar Jackson is, especially with the Vegas lines, it's showing that he's going to be playing this week. He did miss Monday's practice, but again, I think with the Vegas lines, they're anticipating him being back, which
They are.
ramps up a lot of that offense, which we're excited for. Which this game should be a really good game. Very, very high scoring game, I think, next week. So I think Kyle Manungai could be a good opportunity, even if he gets 30% of the snaps.
You might be right.
He's going to get quality play.
Yeah, and I thought I would mention too that you got to remember that the Chicago Bears' investment, quote unquote, into DeAndre Swift is paper thin. Like
Yeah.
they were looking to draft a back. They didn't ultimately get one in the draft. They were top amongst in, trade rumors or stuff in the off season, bringing stuff in. So as DeAndre Swift continues to perform, the second there's a hiccup with DeAndre Swift, they will switch that up, especially with the performance of Manungai. So definitely worth rostering. It's a very good upside pick. Last name we wanted to highlight again, we talked about him, is Tajay Spears. So, the problem is Tennessee's so bad, but he
Yeah.
is good for a baseline of numbers each week, whether it's 7 or 8 points coming out of your running back two or emergency flex position
It's
spot.
rough. It's rough, but I mean, he just takes one play from the pop off. So,
Unfortunately, he might never get that one play in
I think
Tennessee.
he might. I think he might. He's got some decent matchups where they're gonna be playing from behind. You got a
They're always going
divisional
to be
game.
playing from behind.
Well, they're always gonna be playing from behind, but he's got a game against Indianapolis. I think this could be a nice game for him this week. And then they play the Chargers in Week 9. So this could be a nice stretch of opportunity, especially with the percentage of snap percentage he's taking. Week 6 against Vegas, he was 59%. Last week, he was 43%. A lot of it was related to having to be in the pass protection and also the pass reception game. So I think that he has a really good opportunity to continue to roll and maybe spark a little bit more of production in fantasy this week.
Yeah, and again, he's one of these players that the running back at the running back position, his role is not diminished by game script. So to Tommy's point, right? So they're about to play Indianapolis. Indianapolis is going to be up above them 28 points within the first 13 seconds. So they'll be throwing to him, get you a baseline of points. You could do worse than him, especially on a waiver wire and Bipocalypse. Definitely worth the consideration. Let's do our full running back breakdown, and there's a few situations that I definitely want to highlight, and I know Tommy does too. Let's just comment. Let's start at the top. So Arizona, we mentioned it. Benson's going to be coming back soon, maybe a couple more games, but Arizona's going into the bye this week. I got it. This is one of these situations that these 50-50 backs like Carter and Knight, at least in Benson's absence, that it's difficult playing either one of them, but it's hard to drop either one of them. They're going into the bye. Maybe you could drop one of them. What do you think, Tommy? One of them, which would you drop any of them for roster space?
Possibly, but it just depends on what you need. If you need a starter kind of thing, you got a lot of guys coming back from IR soon too. So like that's something you have to put in perspective.
Yep. Atlanta, Bijan and Algier, we know. Baltimore, Henry and Hill. Hill should definitely coming out the bye. Definitely should be rostered as an insurance. Buffalo, we've talked about this a lot of weeks in a row. So they're coming out the bye. So I don't have any updated stats to throw in Tommy's face on this one. Suffices to say, Tommy still thinks Davis is the clear cut handcuff. I think it could very well be a full committee with Davis and Johnson. So if you want to make a priority to add Ray Davis, as especially if you're the Cook owner, go for it. I'm not as bullish on that. So Tommy's opinions on that are well known. Carolina. So now we know how it's going to be. It's a full 50-50 there. Chuba and Dowdle will be 50-50 for the rest of the year, making both not droppable, but capping both of their upside to
To an
every.
extent, I think Dattle is the most electric back there. He's gonna catch the balls. Again, it is a 50-50 show, but I think that this is a better opportunity for Rico Dowdle to be healthy and be fresh on downs when needed.
I
And
also
he,
think Chuba's good too,
yeah,
man.
and no, Chuba is very good, but I think that they're going to utilize him to their strengths, which Chuba is a short yardage guy, and he does break loose for big plays. But Dowdle is, an outside. He does, he kind of runs through the middle at times. But again, he's a reception back as well too. So there's a lot of value. It just really depends on the quarterback play week in, week out.
Yep, I agree 100%. Chicago, we talked about it. Cincinnati and Cleveland, I want to highlight both basically because they, to me, it's the exact same situations that you're rostering the main guy, and if the main guy goes down, it becomes a committee. However, while the main guy is not down, the immediate backup has a little bit of value. So that's Samaje Perine in Cincinnati. While Joe Flacco throws it 90,000 times and it increases the cap of the offense, I guess in an emergency, you could put him in, maybe get you 6 or 7 points on catches or stuff. I just thought I'd mention that. The same thing with Cleveland. I know Tommy mentioned Jerome Ford in their complete destruction of the Dolphins. But unbeknownst to Tommy, Judkins will seem to get every single touchdown that is coming his way. So
Three.
if it was me, you roster Chase Brown, you roster Judkins, you don't roster anybody else on either one of those rosters, but that's me. Dallas, we already talked about this last week now with Sanders out for the year, Javonte Williams, obviously, and Jaden Blue needs to be rostered. Denver, Dobbins, and Harvey. Now, Harvey, and I know Tommy actually dropped Ryan Harvey in a particular leave right before Ryan Harvey goes
It's
for a touchdown.
AJ Harvey.
RJ Harvey. And he goes for a touchdown. So maybe they start to get him more involved as the
Well,
year
in
goes
that
on.
league, the
We'll see.
reason why I dropped AJ Harvey was because somebody had to drop Aaron Jones, and I had to pick up Aaron Jones. So.
I saw that, and I had privately coached that person to, if you really need to drop Jones, do it right before the game so that somebody can't pick him up. But that didn't happen. So we're moving on.
Sometimes you can't lead, the horse to water. You could lead the horse to water. You can't teach it to drink or tell it to drink. So
Right.
unfortunately, it is what it is. And some people capitalize off those opportunities.
We'll get that idiom said correctly at some point. We'll clean it up. The so Detroit, we know the deal, Gibbs and Montgomery. Green Bay, we say it all the time. Jacobs and Wilson. And keep an eye on Marshawn Lloyd whenever it is that he comes back, because he was supposed to be the guy. So they actually, I actually looked it up this morning, and apparently this is the quote: he's coming back from he's come he's he'll be ready to practice imminently. We'll see what that means.
Imminently.
Yeah, Houston, Chubb and Marks. Marks had a nice had a fairly nice game last night. So. You know, we'll see what happens with that. Any news on the Joe Mixon situation, or dare I even ask anymore?
Let's wait till our Thursday show to talk about him.
Okay. All right. I want you to let me know at whatever week I can take that victory lap. We'll get there at some point.
Well, I did drop him in one league, so it's
Yes.
coming.
Indianapolis, Taylor's the best back in football, and Giddens is his handcuff. Jacksonville, Etienne and Tootin. We talked about it. Kansas City, we talked about this situation. Pacheco had a nice bounce back game against the Raiders, although it's the Raiders, so everybody could have a nice bounce back game against them.
Raiders.
We've talked about Hunt and Smith, so you could judge it as you will. I think I need to see it in another game before I drop think about dropping Hunt. Las Vegas, you only need to roster Gentry. Nice call, by the way, on being trepidatious about Gentry against the Chiefs
I mean,
offense
it's,
there.
I'm sorry, but I felt like it was an obvious. A lot of people were like, oh, wow, that's a crazy call. Like, don't start him, or, it was, actually, I had a parlay put together, and everybody's like, "Ah, that's the one that's gonna go over." I took the yards, total yards. It was like 72 and a half. Took
Right.
the under on that, and I mean, he only had 30, like 32 or something like that.
I think there was a really good call, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. I think my point was when I was arguing with you about it was like if we were to we don't do that we don't do it like this. We only put people in categories. But if we were quote unquote to put a rankings together, maybe Gentry would have been ranked at like a very low end RB2, which basically means you play him unless you magically have multiple top 12 or 15 starts. You know what I'm saying? And like
Oh,
almost.
you know what a very low end RB2 gets you? Tony Pollard numbers, which is 5.7 against Las Vegas and 9.1, which was decent because of receptions, but that's about it.
The point is, it would almost no teams would have had enough options to be able to be like, yeah, I'm going to sit Gentry. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a hard sell for people, but it was a good
Yeah.
call nonetheless.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. I will continue to give you my educated calls, and sometimes I'll give you some stupid calls, but those are the ones, the stupid calls are the ones that make you win those big bucks in those parlays.
Yeah, I don't think stupid calls are the ones that you do, but calls that are informed by knowing that the Raiders are playing a ridiculous Chiefs defense
Oh yeah.
is one
I
of them.
mean, it was obvious.
And don't and now things could be starting to be better for Gentry going forward, although they're playing Jacksonville and Denver coming out their bye. So we'll see
Yeah,
about
I
that
mean,
going forward.
if Bowers comes back, that opens the field a little bit
Yes,
more
it
for Genty.
does. Let's hope so. All right, let's go. The Chargers, we talked about the situation. Hampton should be back at some point. Vidal is the only guy worth rostering there in the interim. The Rams, Kyren and Corum, Miami, Achane and Gordon, Minnesota, Jones and Mason. Jones should be back this coming week against the Chargers, I believe, right?
That'll be nice.
New England, Henderson and Stevenson. Just a quick note about this. So
It
it
should be
is,
Stevenson. It should be Stevenson Henderson.
it should be Stevenson and Henderson. Congratulations, Henderson owners, for people who drafted him in the third round. You got what you deserved. You got what you deserved.
Yeah,
There you
that's
go.
rough.
Congratulations.
That's
Congratulations. There you go.
I will say that that is one that we're, even though we
We were
knew
so
that,
right.
yeah, we were so right about the round, but we were so wrong about his production.
Whose production?
I thought maybe he would do something. I mean, he's doing nothing.
We advised, we said
I
maybe
know.
he'll take over towards the
I
end of the year.
know.
Round three, we said maybe
No,
round
yeah, I mean it
six.
was definitely, yeah, I mean it was definitely a high valued asset to be drafting that early, but again, you would think that he'd start seeing some production at this point in the year. He's not.
He so isn't. I mean, didn't he,
And I
basically
mean next week, I mean against Cleveland, that's gonna be another tough matchup. You got Atlanta,
a
which
tough
is
matchup.
depends on which Atlanta shows up. It could be a tough matchup.
Oh, I saw a stat that it depends on if Atlanta's home or away. So if they're away, Atlanta's not going to be that good. But
Well,
we'll see.
there Atlanta is at New England, so
Yeah. So keep it in mind. New Orleans, Kamara, and to Tommy's point, so Kendre Miller is out for the year. I wouldn't roster anybody else then. Then that's the end of the deal for Kendre Miller. Then will be interesting to see how they handle that going forward. We'll talk about the tight end coming up. The Giants, Scadabo and Tracy for sure. The Jets, I did.
Tracy had a big run too.
The Jets, I did want to talk about this horrifically. So obviously Breece Hall needs to be rostered, and even in on a horrific team, you need to be playing Breece Hall for the most part. We'll call out where that doesn't happen. But here's the deal. Breece Hall is it's something like the odds is the highest odds amongst all running backs in the league to be traded. Now, this is relevant because right now, Braylon Allen is on IR, and he'll be coming back from IR, I think, in two more games. Now,
Yeah.
the Jets are at Cincinnati this week, then they're at a bye, and then they're Cleveland. So if Allen were to come back after that, now you've got Allen and Davis as both being viable running backs. Now they're on a horrible team, but if you still want a starting running back, now's the time that you could maybe take your shot on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they need to figure out what their offensive presence is. I think that's the problem is, you know, they have some good weeks with obviously offensive play from Fields, but then you have Fields weeks, you know, this is what Fields does. He's you know, and I think a lot of it is the coaching. That's the, you know, he can't do things that he's not specifically able to do, right? Like he's not that player. He's not, you know, a player that's going to throw for 500 yards.
Right.
You know, he's a player that's gonna run for 100 yards, throw for 200 maybe, and that's where his production is. You know, you have to utilize him that way. If you don't, well, this is what you get.
Well, right, but I don't have all the time in the world to explain just how bad they are, Tommy.
Oh, they're really
It's just
bad.
like.
I mean, defensively too. I don't get it. I honestly don't understand. You know, they should have a really top defense, but they don't.
Because their motivation is gone.
Yeah. But I think Davis, Isaiah Davis, is probably a really good add, just to have as a potential. You know, if you want to take a shot, I think he is probably, because of the pass catching element, he is probably the most accurate person to throw into a lineup if needed down the road.
Let's fast forward 2 or 3 weeks. Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis are both back. Who would you rather have?
Well, it depends on the game
And
script.
Hall is traded.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Breece Hall is getting traded by the bye. He's getting traded during the bye
Oh,
week.
for sure.
It's I am 99.9% sure he's getting traded on the bye week or the week of Cleveland.
Would you
It's
per
happening. So one of those players or both of those players are going to be rostered. From my
Both.
perspective, I believe Isaiah Davis is the more valuable based on the being a pass catcher, he's the most valuable in the system that they're in right now. Now Braylon Allen could be, you know, I see Braylon Allen and Breece Hall are kind of like the same structured of a player, but Breece Hall is a better pass catcher, but Braylon Allen is a better up the hill runner. He's not
Sure.
trying to look, he's not trying to look for the home run every single time. Braylon Allen is going to hit the hole, so.
No, you're right. Yeah, it just sucks
But how
that
many touchdowns are going to score? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know, but that's kind of why I agree with you about Davis. Like
Yeah.
maybe you get you PPR your way to some relevance. It's so disgusting. It's just so disgusting.
Let's move on.
Philadelphia, Barkley, and it's clear even when Barkley had his, 13-second exit, Shipley's going to be the backup there. It's clear.
No. No.
You
Tank.
disagree? Tank
Yeah.
Bigsby got a carry, but
Tank Bigsby,
Shipley had
but he but
eight snaps.
No,
So,
but like the game, Tank Bigsby actually looked good with his carries though too.
you think?
Yeah, he looked good. I think honestly we need to rethink about this this depth chart here.
Fair
Because
enough.
I do think based on that trade, Shipley maybe he might slightly move down a little bit because Bigsby is a better runner.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe it's not worth rostering a handcuff in most leagues. I don't know about deep leagues, but in most leagues, then we'll rethink it.
Yeah,
We'll think about that.
right now with Barkley, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Barkley. It's just that offense. So, I mean, he's not getting as many productive touches right now, which honestly is keeping him fresh for the rest of the season.
That's what we're telling ourselves anyway. Just for the record, so in the game, Saquon, obviously he had the minor injury concussion thing. He's fine. Saquon had 39 snaps, Shipley had 8 snaps, and Bigsby had 4 snaps. But to Tommy's point, Bigsby had 4 snaps and he had what, 2 carries on those 4 snaps or something, right? So again, I don't know. To me, it's still Shipley. I don't really know what to make of that. But you know, take of that what you will. To me, it's Shipley. But San Francisco, McCaffrey and Robinson, Seahawks, Walker and Charbonnet.
You skipped the Steelers.
Oh, I apologize. Pittsburgh, Warren and Gainwell.
So I want to talk about Gainwell real quick.
Oh,
That's the reason
sure.
why I basically put you back into the Steelers production here to
Okay,
talk.
sure.
So
Warren, who by the way is a beast, an
no,
absolute beast.
he's definitely a beast. But you know, I feel based on the 2 weeks and with the bye that happened. So week five they had their bye. Week six, production for Gainwell, 6 for 22 and 6 for 6 for 14. In receiving, and then basically he had a dud last week, but he had 2 targets for 2 receptions, 1 yard. It's not a lot, obviously. I think he's a player that's going to find his way to waivers, and add drops. And I will think that he's somebody I want to take a shot on, for rest of the season. He is productive. He is a vital point, a vocal point of that offense, at times. And based on the next couple weeks, Green Bay, Indianapolis, the Chargers, Cincinnati, Chicago, you got a lot of scoring that's going to happen in those games. He could be scripted to be a pass catcher. And his you know, he's been getting anywhere. He's been averaging about 37% snap percentage, which I think is a good volume for him to basically show more production through the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
if he does fall to waivers, you know, as a drop, I definitely would try to pick him up, you know, in those ads, or you know, place a waiver claim for a shot on him.
Sure. And just to be clear, this is not an anti-Warren take because Warren's
No,
amazing.
the
Warren's a
offense, they need more pass catchers in that offense is basically what it is.
Yeah, like we said, San Francisco, McCaffrey and Robinson, Seattle. I know Tommy could talk about this. So Walker and Charbonnet should both be rostered, but in your opinion, who's the starting running back for Seattle?
Charbonnet is the starting running back.
Charbonnet is the starting running back. Why do you think that is?
He's better.
You think than Ken Walker, or you think he's just
Yeah.
more reliable, they think?
No, I think he's more reliable and I think he's better. I mean, Kenneth Walker, he either gets negative yards or gets 20 yards on a run. He's a home run
That's
shooting
my
running
point.
back. You know, you need somebody that's going to be reliable on the ground. You need somebody that's going to go out there and get those grinding yards. And he is a grinder. You know, he did lose a little bit of weight this year too, which is good because he's more elusive. But he did score the 2 touchdowns. He's looked at in the red zone, and he is a pass catcher at times too.
I don't necessarily disagree. It's from a like, but honestly, the way we're going to be ending up, you know, categorizing them for the rest of the year, it's going to be like, well, Walker and Charbonnet, they're both 50-50. You could start either of them, but they're both
But
not,
they're
you
not
know.
though, because it's more of an uptick now. I mean, you know, against Jacksonville, the snap percentage number hasn't changed, you know, has been updated for last night. I think he did have in the 60s. So even it's now like a 60-40
No,
split. It
but
was 50-50, but it's moving up.
I know, but generally, like we say 50-50 if it's like in around that area. And from a fantasy perspective, can you imagine having any one of them in a probably start position at this point now? It's like they're both going to be decent and that's going to be it, you know, for the most part. It'll be interesting to see unless some of them gets hurt. But yeah.
Hey, last 2 weeks, Charbonnet is the 15th ranked running back,
Yes.
and
Yes.
which we'll call it, Walker is the, let's
Not
see,
that. I
Kenneth
agree.
Walker is the 39th,
Right.
and they're
No, I
getting the
agree.
same production.
And what's going to happen is it'll switch. Like it might end up switching. That's
No, it will not,
I don't know. You
because
judge it by
Kenneth
what you.
Walker is glass. Trade him away.
If you can, some people don't want him. Let's move on. Tampa Bay, Irving's going to be back after their bye. They've got New Orleans and then they've got the bye and then he'll be back. So you can bank on that. So Rashad White should be, you know, rock and roll with him. In my opinion, you could let Sean Tucker go. They have not been utilizing him the way we anticipated in
Yeah, it's
Irving's.
unfortunate.
And there's only one game left and then he's going into the bye. Save your roster space. You could let him go. It was a, you know, it was a longer shot anyway, but it didn't work out. Tennessee, we talked about it, Pollard and Spears, and Washington. Now here's the deal. So JCM, obviously, he's the main guy, whether you like it or not. He is.
He stinks.
I don't. He doesn't. He
Okay.
doesn't. But he might not be as, you know, built up to all the hype that everybody did, and when they had that one stupid game in the preseason. Let's put it that way. I will say that McNichols is on the borderline of being was a pickup on one of our on earlier today when we talked about it. I'd kind of like to see it again. Do you agree, or like how do you see that backfield?
Well, I mean, it just depends on what offense is showing up. I mean, last week they didn't have any pass catchers really, except for Zach Ertz, showing up. And Luke McCaffrey had a, had a decent day. Chris Moore was a bust, unfortunately. Was not anticipating after the targets that he received the week prior to to be what finish how we finished. But I think McNichols does have some value in this offense, especially when the matchup shows in the next 3 weeks they have matchups where he could be utilized.
You're probably right. Although, I mean, they're at Kansas City, and Kansas City is ridiculous against running backs. Then
Yeah,
Seattle,
but pass catching running
Kansas
back,
City,
so
Seattle, and Detroit. I mean, they
yeah.
got some tough defenses coming up here.
They
But
got some points they got to put up.
yeah, no, maybe you're right. Until then, I'll kind of hold and wait on McNichols. But I agree with Tommy that it's McN it was it would be McNichols. It's not Rodriguez at this point. So. Let's jump into some wide receivers. Let's start with some drop candidates. So, we've got Malik Neighbors and Tyreek Hill out for the season on IR, and unfortunately, we have a name to add to that list. Mike Evans. You can add him to the list, and that might be the end. That might be the end of his career. And I wanted to say, we never like to do this, but we do want to take a victory lap on this one. We identified Mike Evans as a full bust. Not going to work out in the off season for the for our draft season. We really like Mike Evans, but it's just age and attrition caught up with him. It's just it's, it is what it is. So he's out for the season. You could let him go and make and now that we're going to have to talk about the Bucs wide receivers probably for the rest of the off season because it's going to be a or for the rest of this season because it's probably going to be a wheel of fortune for their wide receiver too, I bet. So we'll talk about that. Other names on drop candidates we mention all the time. Basically, probably up until like week 11 or 12, we're going to keep mentioning Jaden Reed. He's going to be back week 13, maybe. So let him go. You need the roster space. Juwan Jennings, we identified him last week. Let him go. I mean, he's playing through broken ribs, multiple other issues, apparently. And Pearsall and Ayuk are both yet to return. So you could let him go. No need to go crazy with that. And our darling for the last 2 weeks, we did not get the Bourne trilogy. We only got the first two movies.
No.
K Kendrick Bourne's The End of the Empire.
I would not drop him yet because Mac Jones is back and he's going to be playing next week, most likely. So there could be another the Bourne because they did remake the Bourne series as well, too.
The remake,
The
Jason
remake.
Bourne.
Yes. So there could be an opportunity for him to come
No.
back. He could be born again.
I think you just let him go. It was he Kittle came back. First of all, Kittle came back and Kittle had zero catches. And then they
Yeah.
just decided, well, now we could just run the ball with Christian McCaffrey. So if Pearsall is going to be back this coming week, I think you just let him go. I think it's it. Just let him go. Save the roster spaces, better options.
Before we get into the the owned
Sure.
available ones, I do want to take a slight victory lap, and you probably want to do this as well too, with Emeka Ebuka. Emeka Ebuka the past 2 weeks is wide receiver 52,
Right.
16 targets for 6 receptions and 82 yards. Good job selling him when it was high.
Yes, although the Mike Evans situation does complicate that long term. So,
I mean, if you look at the last 2 weeks with one of those Johnsons, one of
I
those
know,
Johnsons,
but Amika was hurt also. So
I know, but he
I'm
played.
not gonna, it's
He's
difficult
getting
for
the
me to.
targets. No, but he's getting the targets. 16 targets. We're talking about targets here. 16 targets for 6 receptions. Tez Johnson, number 16. Wide receiver the last 2 weeks, 12 for 5 for 103, 2 touchdowns. So I'm telling you, it's going to
I'm
be.
tempering my own victory lap, put it that way.
You could temper it all you want, but you know what? The players that we moved them for are production. They're are producing. You know, Brian Thomas,
Notwithstanding, we'll talk about him.
AJ Brown. I feel so good about that one.
Now, hopefully your AJ Brown thing, it's not going to be like a, well, one week he gets two touchdowns and blah blah blah, and then another week he gets, three
No, he'll
catches
still
for
get his
20 yards or
targets.
whatever.
He'll still get
Hopefully.
his targets. It won't be 20 yards. It'll be about like he's going to average anywhere from 65 plus yards a game.
We'll see. Let's go to probably owned. We got two important names to discuss here. Wan'Dale Robinson. I am done, let's say, doubting him no matter what the matchup is. I got it. There are going to be some ups and downs. I don't care. He's the number one option for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart will is going to get him targets, PPR especially, right? Rondale should be good for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Wandell definitely should be somebody that should be rostered. You know, and definitely yeah, I mean, I do think the Giants are still gonna make a push for a wide receiver.
It's funny. It's funny. You have such a love-hate relationship with Wandale. Like, you're
It's not
one
that
of
I
the
have
most critical as a Giants fan of him.
Yeah, it's because, and I won't, I hate talking about somebody's size, but he doesn't fit a wide receiver one role. He just, he looks like Kyler Murray running on the field as a slot receiver.
Oh, Wes Welker-ish, like,
Yeah,
okay.
but, you know, Wes Welker had like some size to him. You know, I feel like Wandell just like he takes these big hits and then he like tumbles and like just. It's scary sometimes
You know
watching
who he
him catch the
reminds me
ball.
of? He reminds me of Tyler Lockett a little bit, to be honest.
No, Tyler Lockett was a little bit taller and, you know, at times looked like a wide receiver. Wandell is, you know, I really hope Wandell doesn't take this, you know, to heart because I know he listens to our podcast, but I mean, he does look like a child running on the field at times.
Come on. I think Wandell's great. You,
Wandell, I
it's
mean, he
funny.
is, you know, he is great though. He is great. I mean, you know, he's been playing very, very good this year. You know, he's a great add, and I think that, you know, he
You
should
could
be
roll him.
rostered, and you should be able to flex him every single week.
Yeah, and it's just I just laugh at this with Tommy because Tommy, tends to be a Giants fan and he tends to inflate his opinion about almost every Giants player. This is the one player he doesn't have that for. It's just like it's just a weird thing.
One player, I'm going to say, you know, is a trade for candidate right now, or could be a trade away candidate, is Chris Olave.
If anything, he'd be trade for, but he ended up with that one game, so it's
The
like
reason why I say that is because I think he's going to be traded. I think he's going to be traded, which is going to set a production value of a very, very low floor for the, like a week or two, and then he'll be back.
maybe. We got another name probably owned here. We got Travis Hunter, who finally had a really unbelievable game. Now they're going into the bye week, and this was his only good game. So I'm hesitant to just overreact to just one week, but you can't ignore eight catches on 14 targets for 101 yards and a touchdown. He needs to be rostered at the very least, but coming out the bye, they're playing the Raiders. So I'd feel pretty decent about that then. Now maybe Brian Thomas recovers from whatever his situation is by then, but doesn't matter, right? You need to
I mean, it's
roster
showing
him.
he's healthy now, so I think he's fine. But yeah, I mean, Travis Hunter should be rostered.
Maybe they need to just start using him as wide receiver and forget the whole DB thing. It's getting ridiculous. It's
Well, I
getting
will say, I
ridiculous.
mean, you know, they were down 21-0 real quick
I
with him
know.
not playing defense, so.
Okay, but like it's the NFL. He can't be playing multiple ways. It's just not going to work.
It's not for
Yeah.
long.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some general options here. So, top of the list, we're about to talk about the Raccoon Man himself, Xavier Leggett. Widely available in both leagues. Two of the last, not just the last game, but two of the last three games were very good. And I want to highlight that this past game, 11 targets, 11 targets. So maybe he's leveled up. And we know that Andy Dalton loves to throw him the ball, as we saw last year. So Andy Dalton is now going to be the quarterback, at least for the foreseeable future for the Panthers. So I think he's one of my top pickups this week. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean 13 for 11. I mean he's going to get his targets. So he just means he's catching the ball now. So I mean he had 8 targets for one reception one week. You know, that was I think it was week 2 before
Yeah,
he went out on injury.
that's when we said we were done with him.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, now
He's
he's
figured
being
it out.
productive. He's being productive with his, he's averaging 9.4 yards per reception. So, you know, it is a value. And he could be somebody that could see the end zone, you know, maybe once a week, depending on what their opportunity is.
Yep. Let's talk about the Denver wide receivers. I want to highlight both of them. So, or the Denver tertiary wide receivers, Marvin Mims and Troy Franklin, both are widely available. Okay. They both had good production against the Giants. Marvin Mims, obviously, a little bit more so. Troy Franklin is still getting more snaps, but the way that they're using Mims is making him more valuable. I'm highlighting both of them because they both had production. And by the way, they're home against Dallas this next week. So, if you need a spot start, you could roll with either one of them. Considering lots of other options that you could possibly have this week on Bipocalypse, I would have be happily rolling with one of them as a flex if I need it, for sure. And Tommy, you should take a little victory lap on Kayshon Boutte, two straight games of greatness. But I just want to point out that this past game, yeah, he did get a touchdown, but he only had two targets.
Yeah, 2 for 2, 55 and a touchdown.
Right. So I still see the New England pass catchers as a bit of a crapshoot, personally. I know you don't, so do you want to sing Kayshon's praises here?
I think, you know, the week before he was 5 for 5. So he did have a big game that week, with two touchdowns. I think, you know, again, it was another game script element as well too. They started taking the lead against, and defensively they were making really good plays. So I think, moving forward, I think he's definitely somebody that needs to be rostered. I think he's somebody that could be a flex, play week in, week out. He is playing against Cleveland home, and then Atlanta at home in New England, and then they play Tampa Bay. So he has a decent matchup moving forward.
Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Let's talk about Tampa Bay situation, and I want to overly highlight Tez Johnson here. So
Yeah, one of
and
the Johnsons.
yeah, so Tez Johnson, it's two good games in a row, and with Mike Evans out, this could be a season-long thing. Could be a nice season-long ad. Don't hear what we're not saying. That doesn't mean Abuka is not going to be have his games or whatever, but with Mike Evans out and with the way that the Bucks play and Baker plays, they're going to be going to multiple options. And I don't really think that Sterling Shepard is going to become, some target machine in any way.
No.
I mean, I think he's past the expiration date there. So Tez Johnson would be the number one guy that I would go for Tampa Bay. I know a lot of people will be going for Cam Johnson, and I know that there's a gigantic portion of the fantasy community that cannot tell the difference between either one of them. So, but to me, it's Tez Johnson. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I agree. Tez Johnson's being targeted, and I don't know what happened last night, but you know, Mayfield, you know, just was very sporadic, not making good plays, not making good decisions.
It's the
So
Lions. It's the Lions.
yeah, Lions did have a good defense, but again, you know, they are beat up on the secondary, so but they weren't able to make the plays that were needed.
Yeah. So I purposely didn't put any other names here in the general options. Now I know that there's some shots that we could cut, like we could have talked about Alec Pierce, if I know you wanted to mention him. But to me, I think that's completely dependent on like Downs' health, etc. Would it like any other names you wanted to mention? Do you want to say anything about Pierce or?
I mean, I think, you know, with the games that Downs is not in there, Pierce is gonna get the volume. He did get 10 targets for 5 receptions, 98 yards. So I mean, you know, I would chase those targets on weeks that Downs is not there. And you know, I will say Downs is not there sometimes more than he is, right? So Alec Pierce, you know, he's also an injury prone kind of player as well too, but they do have some decent matchups for the next couple of weeks that, for his style of play, could really shine.
I wouldn't be chasing the points on, let's say, the other guy from Indianapolis, Cam DK, not him.
No.
There's other guys that we could chase points on that we're not overly. We thought we wanted to mention guys that you that are a bit more safe. Want to move to tight ends?
Yep.
All right, tight ends. We got two really good drop candidates for you. Mark Andrews, like we mentioned all the time. Gigantic trade rumors. Actually, the top trade destination now is Washington. Apparently, there's been a trade offer already, so we're not sure if they've gonna accept it or whatever. And obviously he's splitting with Likely in the interim, so they're already vulturing each other. So until he gets traded, no need to play Andrews, and you could go ahead and drop him at this point. The other name is David Njoku. So I David Njoku, he's not even going to play, and then they're heading into a bye week the following week, and Fannin is already like usurping that role. Fannin, if it wasn't for a horrific weather day, probably would have had an even better day than he had
Oh yeah, I mean,
this past game.
it was the weather, and I loved taking the under on Waddle's receptions as well too. That was a great one. That was a good one.
That was a
That was a
great
good one.
one. We made a we both agreed that we made a good call to sit Waddle. That was a very good call. Now, what we replaced him with was not that much better, but still, we'll take our points as we take them. So in let's go to probably owned. We had a couple of names here, and in case people forgot, so Zach Ertz, it's very simple. You play him until McLaurin comes back. Roster him, play him until McLaurin comes back. End of the conversation. We'll highlight again Dalton Kincaid. He's coming back out the bye. He was the number one tight end before he missed the game before the bye. Now they're out of the bye. He's ready to roll again. If y'all remember, they lost to Atlanta a lot of the part because they did not have a good pass catching situation from like the other wide receivers that they had did not answer in the interim. So they need Kincaid. He'll be back out the bye. Kyle Pitts, he's having a really great year so far. This past game, he had 10 targets. Needs to be rostered, needs to be played. He's been really good. And like we mentioned, Harold Fannin, he's taken over as the lead guy in Cleveland, and they will need him against New England. So I starting to really turn on Fannin here. In terms of general options, so Tommy, have you fallen in love with Aurondé Gadsden?
No, he
From
got hurt too.
So when at the very end of the game,
Yeah, he did get hurt, and
I think he's fine. I think he's fine because I looked at his information from it. So
I
I
mean,
think
he's getting the targets. I mean, he's getting the targets. If he's healthy, then he could be a good, bye week play, especially if you got Trey McBride or you got another player that's on bye this week.
17 targets the last two games, but to your point, what I'm worried about is the fact that there are so many mouths to feed in Los Angeles. So
I don't think he is like, I don't think you're going to be able to see the same kind of production week in, week out. Like next week, he could have three targets for one reception.
maybe he's going to be a gigantic pickup this week, though.
I know. I know.
So
I would just temper, I would just temper your expectations with him.
I halfway agree with you. I might put in like a tiny little claim just to see if he falls through because it's worth taking that shot. I
Let's just
mean,
say I probably would be more comfortable playing Theo Johnson over Gadsden this
yeah,
week.
let's talk about Theo Johnson. So, the most ridiculous touchdown you've ever seen in your life. So we're not going to count that as like, as part of his main production, but he still had seven targets on the day. Theo Johnson has been pretty good with Jackson Dart. Now they're at Philadelphia and then San Francisco. Doesn't really matter from a tight end perspective if he's going to get targets. You're feeling good about him for targets, etc.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about him until they, get another wide receiver on that roster. I mean, both tight ends are being productive right now, and they, they're seeing target, you're seeing targets for, they're seeing good targets. They're not seeing an excessive amount of targets, but they're seeing good targets that are getting them fantasy points.
Okay. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers situation.
I don't want to touch that one.
So, let's just say this is what happened on Thursday night. Is that just a product of, hey, Aaron Rodgers found the open guy,
Pretty much.
and
And
it's
they were also scrambling because they were losing to the Cincinnati Bengals.
so you would stay completely away from Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith.
The problem is I just don't know who's going to be productive. That's the thing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has never been a, hey, I'm going to throw it to the tight end kind of quarterback, right? He's never been that.
Sure.
Now, whether they have a double tight end, basically set up, so they have that heavy setup. It could be a set where they do throw the ball more to the tight end. And I will say this, it's not Aaron Rodgers' team. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? So like he's playing the system. This is his first time in his career that you don't really seeing him like articulating what needs to get done. He's letting Art Smith basically control that offense, and I think it's working in his benefit. But the problem is, I don't know which tight end is going to pop off week in, week out. It could be both, but I don't feel comfortable starting either one of them because, I think Metcalf is going to continue to get his targets. I think he's going to see more of an uptick in targets because it's needed. And I don't see either one of them getting five, six, seven targets a game consistently.
No, and we'll revise what we're saying if we do notice that. But until then, I agree. Like, I'm not going to overly chase the points here. I will mention that the Steelers are home against Green Bay, and I was just looking at the early lines. I think I might be picking the underdog in that one, which is Pittsburgh. So it'll be interesting to see that game. Let's talk about our two home run shots for long-term value. So Taysom Hill, we keep bringing him up. So I got it. It's hugely boom bust right now, but the point is we're trying to look at this long term trade rumors, et cetera. Now with Kendre Millen going down, maybe they give him some more carries, a couple more catches, and then there you go. Like, it doesn't take much to get you in the top 12 as a tight end. And he has the complete upside of just taking quarterback snaps too. So I'm not so crazy about it, but like, I'd like to actually see that happening on a more consistent basis. But there you go, Taysom Hill. And Isaiah Likely, pay close attention to the trade rumors this week, especially. If they're still there, I'm not interested in playing Likely. But the moment that Andrews is traded, Likely becomes top 10, top 8 tight end for the rest of the year.
I think honestly, if everything goes the right way this week and Lamar Jackson is back, I think Isaiah Likely has a great value to be a valid tight end this week.
They're
Doesn't
home.
matter if it doesn't matter if
You
Andrews
don't
is not
care. You
there.
don't care about Andrews. Home against
No,
the Bears.
I think
Okay.
Isaiah Likely is back. He's getting more acclimated to the offense based on the injury coming back, and I think that he has nice matchups moving forward. And honestly, that offense needs to score a lot of points to get back into the realm of relevance. So,
Be right. Any other names?
no, not offensively or tight endly.
All right. Ready to move on to streamers?
Let's move on to streamers.
Welcome to the A Stream for all you lovely listeners streaming quarterback and or defense, where we would do our very best to hook you guys up with the most widely available quarterbacks and defenses for you to be plugging in if you are streaming them like we are. Let's start at the quarterback position. So I have identified, I tried to find the best options that are widely available in both ESPN and Sleeper. And I'll just quickly run through the names here. Carson Wentz, Michael Penix, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, and Andy Dalton. To me, I think I really am feeling good about Joe Flacco at home against the Jets. I don't see how that doesn't work out. And I'll be honest, I think Michael Penix at home against Miami is perfectly fine too. I really do. I have no faith in the Dolphins. I don't even know if Mike McDaniels makes it through this week. We'll see.
You've been saying that the past 3 weeks.
I have been saying that, but they, I don't know, maybe they're just hoping they lose, I guess. And honestly, man, Aaron Rodgers at home against Green Bay. I think there's not a chance on this planet that he doesn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most valuable one, the one that's available all throughout is Joe Flacco. I think Joe
I
Flacco is
agree.
going to have the best game, and they're going to give him the ball as much as possible. I mean,
Absolutely.
the past 2 weeks, he's thrown the ball 92 times. The past 2 weeks, he's
That's
thrown the ball 92 times.
Let's go fire up the band. And you might not remember, but this is a revenge game for Joe Flacco.
Because he played for 82 teams.
He played for the Jets too. Yeah, go with that. And Joe Flacco should be available basically everywhere. He won't be after this week, but for sure. I would stay away from Carson Wentz at the Chargers and Andy Dalton home against the Bills. Not for me. And I purposely did not mention any other options. So guys like Tua, forget it. So just completely stay away from that.
Hua?
So funny. All right, defenses. We actually have a lot of good defense options for you guys this week. Well, I'll just quickly name them. We got the Bills at Carolina, Bengals home against the Jets. I can't believe the Bengals is going to be a shot on defense, by the way. That's what I was alluding to. And 100% they are a shot on defense this week. The 49ers at the Houston Texans, the Falcons home against Miami, the Bucks at New Orleans, and the Chargers home against Minnesota. To me, it's not close. The Bengals at home against the Jets and
Yeah.
the Falcons at home against the Dolphins are both the best ones there, I
I
think.
think the Bengals are kind of my target play this week, especially if I'm streaming defense, which most likely in, five out of six leagues, I'm streaming defense. So.
I think the Bills are actually, I should revise what I said. The Bills are probably the best one there, but the problem is the Bills are about 30 to 40% in both leagues. They might not be available, so we're trying to be nice and, you
Well,
know.
I also think Carolina could put up points. So
Maybe.
I think the Jets are,
Jets and Falcons.
yeah.
Or sorry, the
Well, sorry,
Bengals and
Bengals.
Falcons.
Yeah, Bengals. I feel more comfortable with the Bengals. I go Bengals, Falcons this week.
Okay. So there you go.
I'll take that shot.
We've actually recommended the Bengals defense at some point this week. So congratulations. I love that we got there. So there we go. That's our waiver show for the week eight, week of the fantasy football season. Closing thoughts, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, we truly appreciate everybody that takes the time to tune into our video. If you could please share, subscribe, and like our videos, we truly appreciate it. And we will be coming at you again Thursday.
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not, we'll be here.
Thank you, guys.